This business about crazy for God was for our foreparents when they were in slavery and they were in bondage and they needed their God to help them to be delivered.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of this message entitled, Am I That Easy to Forget?, taken from Acts chapter 20, Pastor Brian Grant spoke of the effects and the dangers of spiritual apathy, that condition that exists when a believer's passion for Christ has cooled. In the second part of this message, which we will hear this week, Pastor Grant opens by taking us to a church where apathy has become the norm. He doesn't leave us there, however. So listen now as Pastor Grant concludes his uplifting message with a biblical antidote for spiritual apathy. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
You know, some of you can look at your girlfriend. Some of you can look at your spouse. And you're madly in love with them. But God is saying, are you madly in love with me? Am I madly in love with my Savior? It happens gradually. And it can be happening while I'm busy in church. But third, sadly, materialism often leads to apathy. Flip the page to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. And here's what it says there in verse number 14. It said, as God writes to the church at Laodicea, he says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, what I'm going to do? I'm going to spew you, or as my version, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Isn't it sad that often the blessings God has given us cause us to walk away from the one who gave them to us in the first place? Have you ever noticed that? You know, so you got your nice, flashy car. No, you can't come to church because you gotta make it shine. And then if the weather's too bad outside, you certainly can't put that nice car on these roads with all the snow and the salt flying. Oh, no. You certainly can't come. Plus, of course, you got to take a drive. Listen, God wants to remind us that everything that you have, he gave you. And so he says to this church, listen, you are saying, I don't need anything. I am okay. I'm self-sufficient. I don't have to be crazy over God anymore. This business about crazy for God was for our foreparents when they were in slavery and they were in bondage and they needed their God to help them to be delivered. And I intended one day to preach a message about that song we just sang. Because I think one of the most powerful lines in that song that we just sang, lift every voice and sing, is when it asks us a question and it warns us about the possibility of walking away from the God who has brought us. And I ask you this morning, we, particularly those of us who are African Americans, African in descent, we know the power of God and where he has brought us from. The challenge is, the sad part is, that as a people, we have forgotten the God who has brought us thus far. And I challenge you this morning, don't forget the God who has brought us. Don't start thinking we have made it. I don't need him anymore. So God asks us this question very squarely today. Am I that easy to forget? Am I that easy to forget? But then, number three, spiritual apathy is dangerous. Eutychus. What happened to poor Eutychus? He fell and he died. You know, it's been said that apathy precedes calamity. Apathy precedes calamity. Make no mistake, spiritual apathy is dangerous. Let me just take a minute to quickly share with you two things that we get from the two passages we just looked at in Revelation. So go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Spiritual apathy is dangerous because we're dealing with God. Most of us don't want to be in a marriage where the love has cooled. Do you think God is going to put up with a love that has cooled? Spiritual apathy is dangerous. And here he says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Number one, God may remove our Christian witness. You say, Brother Brian, how did you say that? Look, just take a quick look at Revelation 1:20 so you understand what the lampstand is. And Revelation 1:20 says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The lampstand is the church. And God is saying, he's warning them, if you don't get it together, I am going to remove your lampstand. I am going to shut down your witness. Thank God we can't lose our salvation, but God will shut down our witness. And the tragedy is, there are families that God has shut down their witness. Families whose parents, young people, whose parents loved Jesus, and now the second generation, they came up and they got cold to Jesus, and they got so cold and apathetic that God has shut down their witness. And generation number three generation, there arose a generation that did not know even God. You go back to the children of Israel and you see that story, and the Bible actually said there arose a generation that did not know God. Why? Because one generation became apathetic. And I'm warning those of you who are parents in particular, don't be apathetic to God, because he says, I will shut down your witness. I will remove. Oh, I know it's something. You say, Brother Brian, he's talking to the church. Yes, he's talking to the church, but the church is made up of the individuals in the church. So he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, but clearly it had to do with the individuals in the church. Do you know what happened in Ephesus? Before the year 200 AD, the church in Ephesus had shut down. Are you listening to me? Ephesus was one of the places where the church of God was thriving and growing before 200 AD. There was no church in Ephesus. Ephesus in Turkey. Those of you who know your world history, what do you know about Turkey? Turkey, Ephesus, Turkey became the headquarters of the Ottoman Empire. That's where the Muslims ruled the then known world. They ruled, listen, the witness, the Christian witness was shut down, and a Muslim witness was raised up in the same place that the Christian witness thrived. Is God serious? God is not only serious. He says, look back at history and see what I have done. Look back at history and see what I've done. And so the message to us this morning is a very sobering message that God is saying, am I that easy to forget? And he's asking me and he's asking you to examine our hearts, to don't go to church like we normally go to church, to just say we're going, we were there. No, he's asking us, as the Spirit of God searches us, he's asking us to answer this question, has my fire cooled? But listen, Spiritual apathy is dangerous, not only because God may remove a Christian witness, but secondly, it disgusts God. And in chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, you saw what God said. He said, I will spew you. Now, I'm not going to take the time to break it down. Can we agree on this? Any of you ever seen somebody vomit? Who likes to see it? I don't see any hands. Can we agree that the picture that God is describing is a picture that's not pleasant? That God is, because that is the concept here. God is really saying, you make me want to vomit. That's the context, idea. And can we agree that God is saying that when we have lost passion for him, we make him sick? It disgusts God. So what's the cure? Why talk about problems if there's no solution? Thank God there is a solution. Thank God even Eutychus' case, there was a solution. Eutychus ended the service wide awake. Did you know that? Did you realize that? Eutychus ended the service wide awake. God had breathed new life into him. And that's what God wants to do today. He wants to breathe new life into our dead relationship. And I am hoping I'll have the time to also connect this to those of you who are married. I just want you to know that some of what I'm going to say right now has to do with how God can breathe new life into your dead marriage. You think the marriage is dead, the love has cooled, and I want you to know the same formula, it will work if you put it into practice. Number one, what's the cure for spiritual apathy? One, remember. Three R's. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 5 is where we are when he tells the church at Ephesus that they have lost, they have forsaken their first love. He says, remember the height from which you're fallen. Remember how things used to be.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. Here's your special invitation to join Pastor Grant under the Big Tent Sunday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at 605 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. Meetings continue nightly, except Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Join us in this special outreach to share the life-transforming message of Christ with our community. We're conveniently located less than 15 minutes from Manayunk, Willow Grove, and Fort Washington. Please join us in prayer for a mighty movement of the Spirit of God. For details, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I'm speaking to a lady just this past weekend, and she said to me, she said, you know, somebody shared with her that anytime her marriage hits a bad spot, a good thing to do is to go back to your wedding album. Did you get the idea? Go back to your wedding album and you start looking at the pictures and you start remembering. Put on that song, that whatever special dance you might have had with your spouse that wedding night. Put it back on. The whole idea, remember. And God is saying to us as believers in Jesus Christ, remember. Remember when you were on fire for Jesus. Remember when it was different. Remember. Sadly, for some people, it's going to be hard to remember because for some who got young, got saved young. There may not have been a time there was much passion, or the passion was so short. For some people, the passion was so short that there's nothing much to remember. But God wants us to remember. Those of us, listen, you need to remember that day you came to Jesus and you were so thankful for the fact that he had saved you by his blood, that you were no longer on your way to hell, that you're on your way to heaven. And you were so thankful. God says, remember. But secondly, he not only says remember, but he says repent. Do you see that in that verse, Revelation? I'm still in Revelation chapter 2, actually verse number 5. It says remember, and then it says repent. Repent and do the things you did at first. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent. Confess to God that your love for him is not what it ought to be. But you remember now, repentance. Come with me. Repentance. A critical component of repentance is what? Change. Remember? Repentance has to do with change. It's not only coming to God to say, God, I'm sorry that I've slipped. It's coming to God and saying, God, I'm sorry that I have slipped. But God, I want to change. God, I want the fire to burn like it used to burn. A desire to change. I wonder if there's somebody like that this morning. And if I might just quickly mention about married, you know, so married folks need to remember. The married folks need to repent. If your marriage ain't what it's supposed to be, if the love, you say, Brother Brian, you wouldn't know what we are going through. I just don't feel the love anymore. And I'll say to you, my friend, there is hope. Did you know there is hope for dead love? That's what he's talking about. He's actually, wait, this is in the spiritual context. He's talking to a church that the love has died, the love is cold. And he's actually telling the church, listen, although it's dead, it's cold, it's not over. The love can be restored. The love can be reignited. The fire can yet burn. Somebody say amen. How is the fire going to burn again? The fire is going to burn again when, number one, I remember. Number two, when I repent. As a married person, I need to come and tell God, God, I have messed up. Stop blaming everything on the other person. You better believe in every marriage that goes bad, everybody, both of you are to blame. Sometimes it's 95% on one side and 5%. But repent to your 5%. And don't go to God and say, you know, I'm only 5% guilty. Repent. Not only to God. Go to your spouse. I am so sorry. I wonder if today there would be some spouse, some married couple who will take the time to reignite the fire, that they will get aside and they will say to each other, oh, I'm so sorry for how I have treated you. Would you forgive me? It's time for a change. And God has given us a prescription to reignite the fire of love. Number one, remember. Say it with me. Number one. Number two. Well, you say, what is number three? Number three, repeat. Repeat. No, no, I'm not talking about as an indigestion. But here's what he says. He says, remember. He says, repent. And he says, and do the things you did at the first. Did you see that? Do the things. Repeat. So let's talk in the marriage context. Don't worry, I'm almost done. Are you really serious about reigniting the fire? Sir, are you really serious? Remember, repent, repeat. You see, some of us along the way, we stopped doing the things we did at the first. We stop courting. We stop taking her out. We stop going to the movie. We stop having dinner. We stop sending her flowers. We stop saying, oh, I love you, honey. And she did the same. If he likes a foot massage or if she likes a foot massage and he used to do it, you stopped. Am I making any sense? God is saying, repeat. You see, we get married. And now that we're married, I own him and I own her. So I don't have to do nothing. She belongs to me and he belongs. And we do the same thing with God. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I'm on my way to heaven. And God says, lukewarm love makes me sick. So he says, do the things. Here's what Brother Charles used to say, and I've borrowed his line. Do the things that love requires. Write that down. Do the things that love requires. You're married? Start. You say, Brother Brian, I don't feel anything. I don't feel nothing. Listen. Where do you see? I have found the scripture where God says, anytime you feel something, do something. Do you know what God is really saying? And I'm talking to some folks. The love is dead. I'm serious. Put this into action. Really get it going. Do the things that love requires. Do you know that after you do the things that love requires for a while, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, after a while, you start feeling something. You see, we have it backward. Our idea is, I ain't doing nothing till I feel it. God says, do it. You'll soon start feeling it. If you do the things that love requires, and I challenge every man, every woman, every person who is married here, I challenge you. Start doing the things that love requires. But my message wasn't about marriage. It had to do with spiritual apathy. And God says, do the things that love for him requires. You want me to give you a couple of them? You know, one of the things that you could start with is getting back to the book. One of the things you could start with is just meditating. You see, the word meditate, nobody wants to meditate anymore. Meditate doesn't, it's all excited and jumping and carrying on. Meditating, as one preacher said to me when I was a kid, he says, Brother Trusty used to say the same thing. I heard it when I was a boy and I heard Brother Trusty. Meditating is like a cow chewing its cud. You remember that? The cow is sitting there on a nice, cool place. And guess what it is doing? It is chewing and it is bringing it up and it's chewing and it's bringing it up. It sits by its lonesome and it is just enjoying. It's getting all the sweetness. In this fast-paced world, can you just stop and just chew on his sweetness? Just take a minute to let him know how wonderful he is. How marvelous he is. How majestic he is. Just slow down to say, God, I love you. And we don't need a whole lot of noise. Just by yourself. Do the things that love requires. Take time with God. Oh yes, it involves being here. So that together, we can do what he has challenged us and commanded to do. Yes, it includes the breaking of bread. Yes, it includes fellowship. It includes all these things. And I'm going to go, you use your imagination. You have heard enough messages to know the things that love requires. Number one, remember. Number two,
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.